right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. You know, my last guest, Mr. Al Holmes, I love him from the depths of my heart. He is a man who has dedicated his life. He's touched so many lives. He is a servant, no question at all. But where Al and I are on different ends of the spectrum is when we expect everybody to be the same. And everybody is not the same. And, you know, it is a blessing when you have a father like Al who has been able to guide and direct people, his children, and touch those other lives. But there are far too many children who, and I always say this, don't get to pick their parents, and they don't get Al as a father. And they wind up having to deal with issues themselves as children growing up alone. And when your children and you have to pick who your friends are and there's no oversight with your parent, then the chances of you being successful in a society like this is nil. You can say that girls 20 years old shouldn't have babies. And they should do this because mine did. But that's not the way to look at it. Again, the society, everything that you see titillates children. They are exposed to things that lead them to sex at younger ages every year. And so we are now at a point where, you know, children in grade school are aware of sex and all of those things. It wasn't the case when I was a kid. This was not. And so it's hard to blame children and parents when the society has gone mad itself and technology. Always talk about the internet and all those kinds of things, but that's everywhere, you know, and that was not the case long ago. And so we've got to do a better job as a society of policing these things that we have that are making young people make decisions when they're not even qualified to make those kinds of decisions. Let me transition into this. This is an article that I was going through and ran into it, and it just points out some of the problems in our society that, you know, people may look at this from a different perspective, but this is where I look at it, the way I look at it. Young boy, 8 years old, stole a bag of Doritos at a grocery store, 8 years old, and was caught by police, and this happened in Syracuse, New York. The police officers, three of them, accosted the 8 year old boy, put his hands behind his back, and basically threatened to arrest the 8 year old boy. The clip was captured and shared on Facebook, who witnessed three white officers taking the black child into custody in Syracuse on Sunday. A portion of the video was later reposted to Twitter, where it has been seen by 5.3 million people. In the tense footage, one officer held the boy's arms behind his back while he screamed and sobbed. Take a guess what I'm doing, barked the officer holding the 8-year-old boy. He looks like a baby to me, Jackson said. Another officer told Jackson, he's stealing stuff. But Jackson continued to fume at the officers. Jackson is the guy who was watching this. Man. What, he stole a bag of chips? What, he stole a bag of chips? So you treat him as a cold-blooded killer? Keep walking, dude. You don't even know what you're talking about, the second officer said. Jackson continued to shout at the police, adding that if a bag of chips was stolen, he would pay for it. The boy's father, Anthony Wee, told Post Standard that he received a call from Syracuse police on Sunday, and the officers met him at home with his three sons. Wee said he was told that the boys were accused of stealing a bag of Doritos from the store. In that conversation, Wee said the officers were friendly and did not press charges. It was only later, upon seeing Jackson's video along with millions of other internet viewers, that the father became outraged. He told the local newspaper that he planned to file a complaint about the police's treatment of the child. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Look, you know, Sam, I don't justify people stealing, you know. But at 8 years old, did I ever steal a pack of chewing gum? I think I did. Okay. I'm sure the police officers who were there when they were 8 years old, they probably stole a pack of gum or a bag of chips. I don't think any of us, you know, at some point in time didn't do something that was not right. And maybe, you know, they can say we're trying to teach him a lesson. But for a bag of chips, you know, to have the young boy's hands behind his back and to scare him to death was a bit over the top.
I think a stern "don't do that" would have done the trick. I remember sobbing at the slightest tone difference as a child. Are you kidding me? If like my parents changed to a harsher tone,
right,
I felt horrible and I sobbed even from that. Can you imagine a child getting cuffed? Traumatic. That's traumatic.
For a bag of chips. And then the fact that somebody offered to pay for the chips. You know, I've done that myself. When I see something that's, you know, that's, you know, kids. And look, he wanted a bag of chips. He took a bag of chips. What lesson was he to learn? So what he learned by that law enforcement response was fear.
To be afraid of the police.
That's
10,000%.
That's absolutely correct. And yet these are the types of things that happen in a society that will ruin children for the rest of their lives. This made no sense whatsoever, and anybody who's trained police will tell you that was definitely not the right way to go about, you know, responding to this. And the fact that there were three police officers and the other two couldn't say to that one that, hey, man, it's them. There are more things to worry about. Hey, young man, don't steal. See you later. That's it. But the fact that they had nothing else to do, you know, is why they made this a big issue. And now, you know, 5.5 million people have seen it. And what does it do for the law enforcement officers of Syracuse? You know, people are now going to look at them with a jaundiced eye. And you know, there's a lack of common sense in this society now. And because of that, you know, we can't get past things. These are supposedly trained professionals, you know. And, you know, if it was my own child who stole it, I certainly wouldn't scream and yell and holler, you know, especially at that young an age. You know, there was a lesson to be taught and learned, a life lesson, and the life lesson wasn't by threatening, you know, the young boy and pulling his hands behind his back. We're talking about 8 years old, right? We're not talking about 18. We're talking about 8 years old. But I don't know what it is about society today and the way things are handled. They're not handled with thought and reason. They're handled by people who are authority figures who think that authority should only be through threats, and that's not the way to teach young people. Never has been, never will be, and this is really just another one of those situations where they are going to rule the day. And if I was in charge of law enforcement, I would bring those guys in and say to them, you know, some things are just not even worth you wasting your time. You know, so, you know, and I'm wondering, it didn't say whether or not somebody called in from the store. And, yeah, they did. The owner of the store called in. So that means that the owner of the store detained the young boy for that bag of chips, which is ridiculous. You know, hey, put the chips back and leave my store. That's it. Didn't have to be anything more, anything less. And then you wonder why things are the way they are. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to talk a little bit about this, and this is a story in today's Huffington Post. And just, you know, Sam, you might see yourself in this article. Here's what I wish. Someone told me before I racked up $180,000 in student loan debt.
Yeah, I'm already relating.
So many of us have been told that we need to go to college, but hardly any of us have been given an example of the true cost of that choice. I just made the final payment on my private student loan. This is not an article to be used as a talking point by conservatives looking for examples of folks who bootstrapped it themselves through college. Nor is this an article in support of the blind call to abolish all student loan debts. It's a singular, detailed anecdote of one 37-year-old's journey through his student debt. It is meant to inform any reader who is interested in the student loan debt conversation about its personal realities, and it is especially meant to be read by the audience of 17-year-olds and their parents who may be making decisions about college right now. But hardly any of us have been given an example of the true cost of that choice. Many people barely consider the decision of whether or not to go to college at all before launching into the decision of which college to attend. Even then, the true financial costs and eventual life costs are rarely ever explained. So here's a person who had $186,000 worth of student loan debt when he wound up, you know, attending graduate school. And once he finished graduate school, his payment was $1,299 a month. Now, let's just for a moment try to wrap our arms around. You graduate, and you owe $186,000. You know, you're 26 years old, and they want their money 6 months after you're out of school. You know, $1,299 a month, this gentleman paid it off in 15 years. You know, that's every month. Now let's try to envision. He did this on his own. To be honest with you, I don't know how he did it. I don't know where he lived. I don't know what else. $1,299 a month is a really decent house note. You know, for a house that you're going to pay $1,300 a month, you probably can get a home worth somewhere around $120,000. And that house note would be $1,300 a month. Well, he didn't have the house, but he had $1,300 a month that he had to pay the student loans. He did it. I'll tell you something. He's the exception, not the rule. To pay that off every month for 15 years of his life. Now, he talked a little bit about not knowing. So, Sam, when you decided to go to college, did anybody sit you down and tell you about the repayment and all of those things, and especially if you wound up with a loan from Fannie Mae? Not Fannie Mae. Fannie Mae is
Sally
for
Mae?
Sally Mae.
I did a lot of FAFSA loans and such, private loans as well. And that's literally the last thing they teach you, ironically, is I remember before I was allowed to officially graduate, I had to take a online course of sorts to kind of explain at least my FAFSA loan, how it was broken down and how I would have to pay, how much I'd have to pay each month and blah, 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 blah. But beforehand, of course not.
So here's the problem with all of that. It comes off as a scam if they don't tell you that up front.
Right.
You know, why do they wait until the end? And I've said this over and over again about our nation and the fact that it preys on the citizens of this nation who don't know any better. You know, buyer beware should be criminal. I don't care what it is. Well, you should read the small print. Why is the print small? You know, you don't want. You call this nation calls other people criminals if they steal something, you know. But we allow big business to take advantage of the people every day. And that's okay. You know, don't tell me about the greatness of our nation when we allow people to take advantage of the citizenry. And knowingly allow that. You know, so here's somebody wants to buy an automobile. They don't know. So somebody offers them an opportunity to get the automobile. And the verbiage in it is so convoluted that you need an attorney to tell you what you've gotten yourself into. Oh, well, here, I've been taken advantage of. And I've always said, why is that legal? Why do you allow somebody? We can get you a car. And when you're young, we'll make sure we finance it for you. And you're young, you want the car. You don't understand the ramifications of signing your name on this line. And it says, the first couple years in small print. that you don't understand. We don't understand legalese unless we're attorneys. And in the small print, it says if you don't pay it off ahead of time, then, you know, I remember when I bought my house, I wound up with a balloon payment, which meant after a year and a half in the house, I had to pay the entire payment at the end of it. It was something called a balloon payment. Otherwise, I would have lost everything. But when I financed the house, I didn't know what that was. Well, you know, buyer beware. You know, what is that? Why is that legal? 844-967-2789. Somebody call and let me know why they think these kinds of things are right. Got to go to a break. I see you on the phone lines. We'll come right to you after the break. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm talking about an article in today's Huffington Post where a college graduate said he wished someone would have told him about, you know, the fact that he would rack up $180,000 in student debt before once he graduated, and he's given a story, I think, that many of us, you know, who didn't have to deal with that, you know, a college degree is a valuable instrument, but the cost of them you have to weigh with, you know, once you finish college and where you go, are you going to wind up with a job that is going to compensate you well enough that that money that you invested is going to be, you know, worthy of what you did? I mean, you know, and what you owe, because in many instances, when you graduate from college, you know, and start at whatever you've been trained in, the people want to right away see if you have any experience, right? Well, you got the degree, but how are you going to get the experience unless someone hires you? Well, in the meantime, the you know, fact that you borrowed this money, that keeps accruing. They want that immediately. They want you to start paying that back immediately. And now young people are up against the wall with debt before they even get a chance to live their lives. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man?
Just fine. I have I guess I'd call it a compromise that I think might work in terms of student loan debt. Since about 1980 and Reagan's tirade against government, we have substantially cut back almost every year support of public colleges and universities. And I think that it's not unreasonable to do an inflation-adjusted number, figure out how much more it actually costs to go to school, and forgive the difference between what it would have cost in 1980, but inflation-adjusted to now, and today, with the lack of governmental support to public colleges and universities, and forgive that amount of student loan debt, because it's outrageous that just for example, my son's going to one of the state university schools, and just for tuition, I believe he's going to be racking up something like $50,000 in 4 or 5 years of schooling. And that doesn't count room and board. It doesn't count cost of books, you know, and any of that stuff.
So let me add this, Jack. It doesn't have to be 4 years. If you look at some of the courses and classes that they are telling you to take, you're not ever going to use that in your life.
The new average is actually 6 years because of all of the gen eds, as well as people projecting to change their degrees every now and then, because a lot of I luckily never had to, but a lot of my friends changed, and you know that changes a lot of the classes you're required to take.
So how many, it doesn't take 4 years to get, you know, some of the degrees that they offer, because you're not going to be able to use them. And so this is what, again, why wouldn't our society do everything within their power to help get the society educated, but not to saddle them with this back-breaking debt, Jack? Why is that okay?
Well, it's not okay. That's the bottom line.
That's my point.
Like I said, the first thing we have to do is we've got to start supporting our public colleges and universities again to the degree. I'm going to go back into the dark ages, but I used to joke when I was in college, and I remember saying this, it's the only place I can live on $1,000 a year. Now, admittedly, I'm an old guy, but the fact is that even inflation adjusted, there's no comparison between the cost of college today. And yes, many, many people do not have to go to a four-year school or to go to college for 4 or 5 years. My son's going to be in for 5 years because he's going to get a teaching degree. But and so you basically have a year of practicum that you have to do. But the bottom line is, again, it shouldn't cost our kids that much money.
No.
It wouldn't if our society had reasonably said, yep, we are going to continue supporting public colleges and universities. Somebody wants to go to Harvard, fine. You know, they can pay the extra money and they can take their chances that way. But public colleges and universities should not be that expensive. They should be available to not just the kids like mine, who is lucky, who has two parents that both have good, you know, good paying jobs, and we can afford to pay his way, so he will actually leave school with little or no debt. But it shouldn't have to be that way. Anybody should be able to do that.
You're absolutely right, and there are less and less parents who can afford to pay their students debt. You know, you and I, that was commonplace that parents sacrificed 40 years ago and put aside, you know, 50 years ago, 40 or 30 years ago, and put aside, and people made enough money then, and the cost of living wasn't as high as it is now to do that. But that's the exception now, Jack, not the rule.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Sam, where are we going next?
Bill from Oconomowoc's calling in.
Hey, Bill, what's going on, man? How you doing, my friend?
Are you there, Bill?
Did we lose Bill?
Maybe try again,
okay,
Bill.
Okay, call back,
again.
Bill. But my point once again is, why would a nation want to punish the people who... if you all over the world, you know, in places, China, you know, India and other places where education is free, you know, extended education is free, higher education is free, because they know it benefits their nation when the citizenry is educated. So they've made it possible that those who want to go and who want to be educated aren't going to be saddled with the debt that people wind up with in this nation. Now, let's even move away from the education part of it. As I stated before, first time I bought a house, I didn't know. I was taken advantage of. I the people gave me the information, you know, say, okay, we're going to finance this house for you. I've been turned down so many different times. And when finally I got a chance to get the house, I didn't know what a balloon payment was. They didn't tell me anything about it. I didn't have an attorney with me because I didn't know I needed to have an attorney. So they sold me a home that had at the end of it a balloon payment after a year, I think it was, of me paying this note. It turned around at the end and somebody said, hey, man, do you understand what you got? I said, no, I don't. What are you talking about? He said, well, the way this is written up, you're going to have to then, before a year is up, go find somebody else to refinance the house for you. Otherwise, you're going to have to pay the entire amount of what the house costs at the end. Why should that be legal? You know, why should the what's written in documents when we do business or service in this country be a scam? And you can say, well, that's not a scam. You didn't have to do it. Well, if they're not going to be upfront and truthful with you, like we talked about, Sam, with what they teach you or tell you about, you know, the end at the end of graduation or before graduation, now they sit you down and say, this is what's going to happen. You know, not during the time you're there. Well, yeah, you know, we're gonna give you a loan. The government is going to give you a loan for room and board. And, you know, if you can't afford it, but this is what we're going to do. We're doing this great thing for you. But then you turn around and you see where you are. And at the same time, the types of jobs that are available, many of them have been eliminated. And so where are you? I'll just again say that I don't think it's right. I think legalized robbery should be treated the same way as somebody who, you know, goes into a store and takes a bag of potato chips, right? You know, if you're going to give the make legal robbery and usury, because what we're really talking about is usury that's legal in this country. For corporations, it's not legal for you and I as individuals, but it's legal for the corporations. Why should that be? And don't tell me about the greatness of the society when we know all these things are there, and whether Democrat or Republican makes no difference. That's supported by both sides, usury and taking advantage of people. That's not right. And if you think it's right, 844-967-2789, you know, explain to me why that's right. But I know the majority of the American people don't believe that's right. The problem is the majority of the American people won't speak out and speak up about injustice, especially when it comes from the corporations of this country, because we're so caught up in believing that the corporations are going to do what's in the best interest of all of us, when nothing could be further from the truth. You know, I just, I want to, well, we got a couple minutes. Oh, okay. I'll come back to a little bit more of this. I got some other things I wanted to discuss, but we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You know, Sam, I get a lot of people who always say, you know, you don't like this country, why don't you leave? And I would say, you know, I'm not going anywhere. Why should I leave? I've got the courage to challenge the nation to be better. And everybody should be wanting the nation to be better. It's easy to close your eyes to it and say, I can't do anything about it. There's something else altogether to challenge it and expect it to live up to what it claims it is. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Bad. Take a sad song.
All right, welcome Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join me at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm talking about an article that appeared in the Huffington Post this morning, and it talked about a college graduate who owed $186,000 in student loans and paid it off in 15 years at the rate of $1,300 per month. But he also had this to say. Although he was able to accomplish it, get it done. He said, this brings me to the life cost that I referenced earlier. Yes, it will take you longer to live on your own. First, it will take you longer to rent a place with roommates. It took 6 years for me to do it. Then it will take you longer to be able to afford to rent a place alone. If you want to buy a house, you'll have to wait longer for that too. Marriage may be delayed. It was 10 years before my wife and I were ready to get married and buy a home. Having kids may be pushed off to a later, potentially imaginary time when you're more financially stable. It took 13 years before we were comfortable enough to have a child. But let's put these life choices aside. Maybe you don't want to get married. Maybe you hate kids. That's fine. However, if your passions, even the very passions that you went to college to study, involve creative or low-paying realms, you're like going to have to put off pursuing those dreams as well. You can choose the improperly glorified life of a starving artist. It is going to come facts are going to come knocking on your door 6 months after you graduate. Society might not care if you suffer for your art to the point where you can barely feed yourself. This brings me to two other often overlooked points. First, the ability to choose to be a starving artist is most often reserved for those who are wealthy enough and either don't have loans chasing them or have parents who can pay them off. This leads to inequity where class dictates which people can actually afford to create art. Imagine trying to work as a lowly paid production assistant on film sets when you have 6 months before the debt collectors come knocking. They won't accept the experience that you'll be offered in exchange for freelance jobs in the arts as payments either. Or you have the opportunity to work with a great company as an intern, but not if you want to pay those loan bills. Realistically, you're going to take the first job that someone offers to you, like I did, like a responsible person does. Second, I'm only writing this as someone who has successfully been able to pay off my private loans from the perspective of a white male who has benefited from white privilege. Yes, I'm also the child of immigrants. Yes, I grew up middle class, but the privileged part also remains true. There are many people who are in a much more difficult position than I am. Let me say that there are probably people who are listening to this and saying, you know, we got to stop giving people handouts. People made decisions. Nobody told you, Earl, to sign, you know, that contract with the people who, you know, helped you purchase your first house. You should have known better. Excuse me. And in the end, they're right. I probably should have known better. But I was naive enough to trust our government, to believe that our government would allow people to act in the worst interest of the citizens. Because none of those things that are happening, none of them happen without the blessings of our government. Right? I mean, Annie Mae is our government. Right? I mean, it would be different if it was, you know, some private entity. And that shouldn't be allowed either. But when you look and see that the government of the United States has taken advantage of young people who go to college to try to better themselves and become better citizens in the society, and then you turn around and find out that they've been hustling, doing a three-card Monty on, you know, the citizens, is not right. And, you know, I've always heard, well, things are never going to be right. Well, why? You know, why should they not be right? Why should we continue to accept that in this society that we should all, you know, be leery that we got hustlers who are in business, not the guy on the street corner, again, who's, you know, three-card Monty is where you have three cards and you crease the cards down the middle, and the guy and the hustler puts a P or something down and moves the cards around quickly, and you think that you've seen where, you know, the P is, and then you bet, and you never win because the guy is slick enough to know how to let you win when the bet is 50 cent. But once you figure you've got it ready and you move the bet up to $20, now all of a sudden the guy pulls the Monty on you. Well, that's the way it is in this society when it comes to business in many instances. Should not be allowed. And you should never be allowed to take advantage of the citizens. Well, that's the way capitalism works. Well, okay. So if that's the way capitalism works, then stop talking about socialists. Because the socialists aren't taking advantage of the people. That's the difference. So how can you be so anti-socialist and socialism when they're not allowed to take advantage of their citizens? So, I mean, they're not. And so their thing is, we're not going to allow Jeff Bezos to make all the money he makes at the expense of the rest of the American people. You know, if you hate socialism, you know, so much because you're in favor of capitalism where, you know, buyer beware, maybe you need to look at yourself, because I guarantee you, you've been taken advantage of. Okay, how smart you think you are. When we live in a system where, in many instances, those who are the wealthy amongst us, and they've gotten wealthy in many instances by taking advantage of the populace, then it's time to really take a long, hard look at our country, at our society, and work towards doing away with the injustice that happens, especially when it comes to finances. You know, nobody should be taken advantage of by trying to improve their lives through education. And anybody who thinks that's okay, I wish you could have gave us a call and tried to explain why you think so. Because you know it doesn't make sense. You know it's not right. Anyway, we've got to go to a break. Phone lines open as always at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We'll be right back.